As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, happy Easter Monday. We're trying something new out today. I'm just calling it Easter Monday.
I've never heard it before, and therefore it's brand new. There is no such thing as Easter Monday, is there? Other than the fact that it's after Easter.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's printed on calendars.
Easter Monday. I'm looking this up right now. Let's just go straight to the internet.
What are you Googling?
Easter Monday. It just says Easter Monday.
The question is, I don't know what you're asking for to know if it exists.
Okay, Wikipedia says Easter Monday is the second day of Eastertide. What the heck is that? And a public holiday in more than 50 predominantly Christian countries.
Well, the church calendar would celebrate Easter for a period of time up until, I assume, Ascension.
Is Eastertide like high tide or low tide? Does it have to do with the actual tide?
Kind of depends on the person, I think.
Or the time of year.
For you, I'd say.
Because it falls in different times of the year,
tide.
Of course.
Easter Monday is a thing. I don't know what you want Google to say to you that's going to make you realize you are not, that it's not brand new.
I've just never heard people say Easter Monday so much until this year. I guess so many people get the day off.
I saw people asking, should Easter Monday be a federally recognized holiday? And I'm not really for that. I think we need less.
I'll ask you this. What exactly are we celebrating on Easter Monday?
It would just be a recognition of Easter, which is on a holiday. It's on a weekend.
So it's just acknowledging Easter Sunday, but on a Monday. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to be clear.
I mean, I think people celebrate Easter, and since Easter is on a Sunday, which is a traditionally non-work day, that Easter Monday, for instance, are your kids off school today?
Yes, they are.
Why?
I guess it's the day after a long travel weekend.
You send your kids to a parochial school, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And you just relegated Holy Week to a travel holiday?
Well, is the rest of this week Holy Week?
No, that was last week.
So this Monday is not Holy Week. So it's
it's Easter Monday.
So it's just an extension of Easter. That's all I'm saying, is that we're just still celebrating same Easter.
No. I just asked you why your kids were off this weekend, and you said because they had a long weekend of travel.
Yeah, they asked me, why do we get Monday off? And I said, I think it's because people travel for Easter enough that they want to let people come back on their own terms instead of rushing back on Sunday night. You know what I'm saying makes perfect sense. You're just going to shake your head no matter what.
Ring that bell. Thank you.
We all win when the bell rings.
For whom the bell tolls. I'm looking at my sound sheet to see if there's something here I want to shift to, and there's really not. I mean, the stories are all... There's kind of a refreshing loop to the news cycle these days. Donald Trump's fighting back on immigration that was out of control. Donald Trump is fighting back on government spending too much. Donald Trump is leading the charge on, you know, government corruption in the deep state and trying to pull that out of just the accepted way that we do business. And I'm here for all of it. I'm happy with all of it. And we're midstream on all of it. We're also less than 100 days into his presidency, and he's already gotten the ball rolling. Is there anything that he said he would do that he hasn't touched yet? Can you think of anything that he campaigned on, that he said he was going to get to, that he hasn't started the process towards getting? Now, he, when we were talking with Ryan Schmelz in the previous hour, we were talking about all these executive orders. Seriously, every day I get the president's schedule in my email, and it will say multiple days a week, 3 p.m., 4 p.m., Eastern, president signs executive orders. And then Will Scharf goes into the Oval Office and narrates the Trump administration. And he goes, oh, that's a good one. That's an important one. And then he gives a spiel to the press that's all standing there around the in the Oval Office around the Resolute desk. I'm trying to think of something that the president said he would do that he hasn't begun the process on. And I also am patient enough to realize that the amount of things that he has said he would move on, unless I'm forgetting something, I'm open to the possibility that he hasn't done or started everything he said he would do within his first 100 days. I know a lot of people want more tangible results from, they want to see people arrested for being part of the deep state or corruption. You know, they want to see the handcuffs. I get that. I understand that. If you follow Cash Patel and you follow Dan Bongino on X, they keep saying, we are doing these things. You have to be patient. Well, I mean, to me, that's other than our insatiable need for resolution, for something, like I said, tangible that you feel like concludes the situation. It's not a 60-minute drama series on CBS at night. It's more complicated than that. And if you want to do it in a lock tight way, you're going to have to do it by the books with the documentation and the process in place that's going to make sure that whatever you're doing sticks. Has he not started something? Can you think of anything big that he said he's going to do that he hasn't?
I can't think of anything that he hasn't at least started, because there were some...
There's a lot of loose ends.
There was a lot of day one promises. Like, I'll end the war in Ukraine and Russia day one. Well, clearly that has not happened.
He's also leaned heavily into it never would have started if he would have been president.
Over and over.
Which to me is the, in his mind, the explanation as to why it's not resolved.
He says that every single time you say the word Ukraine or Russia.
Never,
you know, that
would
have never happened if I was president.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. But he is... You got to give the guy credit for actively working hard to make that happen, too. It's just difficult. These are difficult things. So maybe the bloviated campaign promise didn't happen, and you could criticize him for that. The other one is inflation coming down day one. But the weird thing is hasn't gotten much attention. Inflation actually has come down. Mm-hmm. It hasn't gone down to zero. We haven't gone into deflation, which I don't even know if the economists would want that to happen. But inflation has come down. It just didn't happen day one.
It's also not being talked about in large part. And I think it's not being talked about in large part because if the tariff negotiations cause prices to go back up, that they don't want a delineation of Biden gets out of office, Trump gets in office, inflation goes down, tariffs get implemented, prices go back up again.
Yeah.
That it's a lot to take in. So I think that, you know, good grief. Joe Biden campaigned on being a unifier, being the adult in the room, and being the person who was going to take the terrible economy that they inherited, which was just COVID. The economy was gangbusters up until COVID. The entire presidency, they talked about the economy and Trump's economy and how they were going to fix it. And then Kamala Harris talked about their terrible economy and how they're going to fix it. Well, that's your economy.
Yeah, it didn't work.
So it seems silly.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You commented here the Fuffin story?
Yeah, I can tell it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, really? Oh, but
do I?
Yeah, you do, because I put it in our chat on Twitter, on X, and you guys said, "What in the world is this picture of this puppet?" Remember when I left town on Thursday?
Oh God! Did you answer me when I said, "What in the world are you talking about?"
I didn't. I said, "I'll tell you in person."
Did I follow you? Did you?
I think
you
I
didn't
said
write that.
I think I said, "I'll tell you later" or something.
Did I follow up and say, that sounds good, and I want to talk about it more?
Yeah.
I did not! No, yeah.
You did. You texted me in a separate text, and it didn't say that exactly. I interpreted it that way, that you wanted to hear more about this fascinating story.
I feel like we can't not tell the story now, but I just want to apologize to everybody in advance, because I don't know what you're talking about.
It's okay. It's okay. I was not here Thursday because I drove up immediately when the show ended on Wednesday. I drove up to Chicago to see one of my favorite bands, Super Furry Animals. The lead singer was in Chicago. They don't even tour together anymore, but the singer was there. And he's Welsh. English is his second language, which is very strange because if you're born in the UK and you're English...
What era is this band from?
They started in the mid-90s through... 2015.
Do I know anything that they do?
Here, I'll pull up a couple songs and see if you recognize any of these.
You have to tell the story.
Okay.
You can't be Googling.
Well, here's one of them. I'll just play it and Brad can bring it up whatever. Oh, there we go. He sings in Welsh a lot, so you may not recognize it once he starts.
Has it ever been mainstream?
They had a couple of hits. Not
on
big,
the radio?
Yeah.
On other people's radios?
Yeah. See, it's not in English.
Ryan?
So anyway, I've loved this guy for years.
Did this guy tell you to get me root beer for my birthday?
No, that was the voices in my head. This guy, he was playing at basically a bar.
You can turn it off now.
In Chicago.
He could be saying profane things and we wouldn't know.
Yeah, we have no idea. It's in Welsh. And he got to a part in the story of this one album he was touring on. And the album is about a Welsh explorer who discovered parts of America, basically, named John Evans. This is real history. So the album
thanks for the distinction.
Tells the story, and it gets to a certain point where John Evans is in what would now be South Dakota, living with a tribe of American Indians at the time, and a Canadian assassin is sent to kill John Evans. This is a real historical story.
Stop saying that.
So...
Well, you're going in and out.
The part where I come into this story is nobody knows what John Evans looked like because he was alive in the 1700s and he wasn't rich enough to have paintings of himself. So they just have, the singer has a puppet of John Evans on the stage the whole time. And he kind of talks to the puppet and he interacts with this puppet of John Evans. So during the assassination, he says, I need an assistant to become the Canadian assassin of this puppet. Well, nobody really raised their hand except me. So I raised my hand and
had
you had three sips of beer?
I had nothing. I was completely sober, although maybe contact high, because I'm guessing other people around me were high. The singer of Super Furry Animals points at me and says, come up here. So I walk up on stage.
Well, how many other people were at this concert? Is it more than a dozen? Oh, okay. 150?
150 people, I'd say. I looked around and I tried to count because I was curious too.
And high.
I was the only one that wasn't high. And
that's
so
not how it works.
He says, I'm going to give you a fake gun. You have to hold it up. You have to sneak up behind John Evans, the puppet, and act like you're a Canadian assassin that's going to kill him. And so he hands me a fake gun. I hold it up behind puppet John Evans. And then the singer, sneaks up behind me and holds a gun up to me. Now, there are pictures of this happening, and I have none of them because I did not know a single person at that show.
You went by yourself?
I went by myself.
And you volunteered to go on stage?
I did. So there are pictures of me with this singer that I have just thought is the greatest thing.
You drove to Chicago to listen to a band for one night.
Yes.
And you went alone.
Yes. Stayed with friends, but they couldn't go to the show. So it was just me.
Why couldn't they go to the show?
They worked the next day.
That means they didn't want to.
They didn't want to go.
That means that they were otherwise disinclined because they did not want to.
Yes.
But why didn't they want to go?
Nobody knows the band. I mean, seriously, I don't even have friends that know this band. That's how obscure they are. They did have a couple of like barely made it hits. They're really big in Europe, but they never cracked through in the United States. So I went to see, and that's why I had to go to Chicago. He never comes to the U.S. because they're not that big here.
You had to go to
there.
So
I go up there.
Had to serve in church.
And now there are pictures of me, because I saw people taking pictures in the crowd. So I know they exist, of me taking a fake imaginary gun from the singer of Super Furry Animals, assassinating almost a puppet, and then him coming up behind me.
The band doesn't even know this band.
Coming up behind me, and holding the fake gun up to me, and it's like this moment in time that I would love to have pictures of, and I will never see.
Is that why you're telling the story?
I want somebody out there who drove to Chicago.
You think that there's somebody listening to this show right now that knows anything of what you're talking about?
I genuinely hope so. It was at the Empty Bottle in Chicago, not a big bar, but enough that there were 150 people there, and I just hope somehow, somewhere, a photo makes it on Facebook on this guy's website, and I get to see it because I would love to have it. So thank you for your time. I appreciate this PSA, and now we can continue with the rest of the show. And also, I'm going to play this. This is a song in English. It's playing. There we go. It's a song about dinosaurs.
How are you not high? Am I high right now? I've never been high before. I've never ingested anything like that. But I feel like if I were high, this would have actually made sense to me.
Well, if you are high and you're listening to the Annie Fry Show in the afternoon, first of all, that's rare. Second,
I don't think it's rare.
Let us know.
I think our YouTube chat is familiar.
If you had a couple brownies right before the 2 o'clock segment and that made perfect sense, let us know. And now more songs about dinosaurs.
Did this go the way you thought it was going to go?
I didn't really know how it would go, but it's an interesting story. Fascinating story. People have been begging me to tell it. And I waited because I knew this is going to kill. And it did.
We're all dead. We should go to break. I'm sorry. Like I said, that was what I want credit for at the beginning.
What?
I apologize to the listeners.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Got 6 minutes six or 7 minutes.
It's a good story. It's great. It'd probably make the best of.
Stop talking. I'm trying to go to break. Peanut butter cheese, we come back. Don't go away. Listen, do you want a revolution? I say, do you want a revolution? Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. You guys follow Justin Bieber?
No.
Too much time with the furry pets or whatever you said.
Yeah. Super furry animals.
Furry pets.
Yeah.
Hey, I do follow them. Was this like a furry thing?
No. No, they existed before that.
But I did have... I wasn't talking about for them. I was talking about for you.
Oh, for me. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was trying to meet people in costumes for sure. But not sexually. I want to make that clear.
You've definitely now made it clear. Thank you.
No, I used to. They had a shirt in college in 2002. I bought a super furry animal shirt that just said furries.
Ooh.
And I did not know that that was a thing until I was wearing it on college campus and people started looking at me and saying, do you know what that is? And I said, no.
I'm playing on our live stream here the split screen of. of Donald Trump with the Easter Bunny and Joe Biden with the Easter Bunny. And Trump's like, do you remember when the bunny took Joe Biden out? He's not going to take Trump out anyway. And then the Easter Bunny puts his little paws or whatever he has on the side of his face and shakes his head no.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Melania is standing next to him and laughing.
I got to tell you, you already said this, but the quality of bunny, I'm not trying to be partisan here, but the Trump bunny is
a
higher quality bunny.
Do you see that the Joe, like, describe for me the Trump bunny and then describe for me Corinne Jean-Pierre, whoever's in that bunny suit.
The top bunny with Trump is a brown bunny in a nice suit or something, wearing nice clothes, very, very animated, you know, like a Disney character. They're not talking, but they're letting you know what they're thinking by just moving their hands, and he keeps putting his hand over his mouth like, oh, I can't say that. And also just a solid costume. The costume, the bunny with Joe Biden.
You can tell in the Joe Biden one that the person who is very awfully as an imposter of the real Easter Bunny has to look through the mouth of the Easter Bunny.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Okay, because the Easter Bunny keeps looking up at the sky.
The Easter Bunny is tilted all the way. The head is very far back. So this person is clearly looking through the mouth at Joe Biden, trying to get Joe Biden away from the press.
Touching Joe Biden.
Yes.
And like she's landing a plane. Waving
big, too. And it really does look like, and this is more of a costume analysis here.
Yeah.
It looks more like the Trump bunny would have a little more difficult time walking in that suit because it's a little bit more authentic. A little more big around the waist, like a bunny, like a hopping bunny. The Biden bunny looks like somebody just slipped on a fuzzy suit.
A furry costume.
And is walking around in it. A furry costume, if you will.
Did you see any of these at your concert the last week?
Absolutely not. The Super Furry Animals and Gruff Reese do not participate in those kinds of activities.
Have they said that? Or are you just saying that for
them? I'm inferring. It was kind of a pun, too. Inferring. Oh, my gosh, the times we have. Back to you, Annie. Should I send this segment to the Super Furry Animals?
You don't do anything I say.
I think that I probably
should do whatever
will.
You were going to do anyway.
I think I'm going to.
Peanut butter chews, we were talking about that at the beginning of this hour as a dessert, right? The beginning or maybe the end of the last hour. Peanut butter chews are like Rice Krispie treats in the way you make them, but it's cornflakes, peanut butter that you mix with Karo syrup.
Okay.
And is there anything else in it, Jared? I don't know.
Syrup, peanut butter, and cornflakes?
White syrup, yeah. All and right. You mix it up and then that's that.
Do the cornflakes stay crunchy or do they get a little soggy?
Still crunchy. Mm-hmm. Just like a Rice Krispie treat would be still got a crisp to it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. There's really only one way to determine whether these are good.
Well, I still have some at my house. I should have brought them in. I have so much extra dessert at my house. The ingredients are peanut butter, light corn syrup, corn flakes, and then, of course, a cup of sugar for a good measure.
I'm in.
It's fantastic. I think it's probably better than a Rice Krispie treat.
Well, I'll be the judge of that tomorrow.
Okay, so I'm going to make you a salami, hard salami, grape jelly, an American cheese sandwich, and then you can have this is like the best second grade lunch ever.
Oh, yeah. Can you make a couple of funnel cakes?
No. No. I've already...
Could you deep fry a candy bar?
I've already purchased those things for you before at the Midwest Swing Fest. And,
I'm kind of ashamed that we've kind of gone over this territory already. I don't have any new tricks in my bag.
For sugar?
Yeah, like if you know that I love deep fried candy bars at fairs, there's not much more to me.
That's you've the extent
discovered
of you?
You've discovered everything. That was the end.
You have probed the depths of Ryan.
All right, here's it. I'm going to show a picture, and we're going to talk about this picture. I don't know if y'all have seen it. Joe Biden tweeted on Easter a photograph of the family. And have you seen this picture yet?
No.
Okay. Brad, have you seen it yet?
I've seen it.
So Joe Biden tweeted at 3:15 p.m. on April 20th. We wish everyone celebrating today a peaceful and joyful Easter. The question is, does this photograph look like Joe Biden has been photoshopped into the top of it. Did Joe Biden's account tweet out a photo of him? He looks like he's walking by somewhere. I can't make it zoom in anymore.
It does look like that. At first, I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. But then I'm trying to figure out, there is no way that guy got down on his knees for that picture.
The only, he could be sitting in a chair. So it's Jill Biden is kind of in the middle of a group of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe a half, maybe a dozen people tops. What's the daughter's name with the long dark hair? Is that Ashley Biden at the top in front of supposed Joe Biden?
Oh, that, yes, that's Ashley Biden.
So the only people I recognize in this photo other than Joe Biden are Jill and Ashley. I know that to be a Biden daughter. I don't recognize any of these other people. Hunter Biden is not involved. He's not, his family is not in this picture as far as I know. Now, a lot of us get together with our families and some people can't make it to the family celebration for any particular holiday. So the fact that Hunter isn't there, if you're looking for the most practical explanation as to why somebody is not at a family dinner, there are a lot of practical explanations that explain why Hunter's family wouldn't be there. Would you agree?
Yeah, I.
And people are making a lot of hay also about the fact that Hunter's not included or like he wasn't invited, and it's like all inference, no substance whatsoever. But Joe Biden, everybody's wearing what I would call like Sunday casual clothes. The kids that are in these pictures, they're a great looking family, but the kids are wearing khakis and tennis shoes. There's a looks like a grandson who's got a ball cap in his hand. T-shirts. There's some T-shirts in the picture. Joe Biden is in full presidential suit facing the opposite direction. And I don't think it's tweeted from Joe Biden's account. I don't think that that's not how you would take that picture. You would put Joe and Jill in the front or in the middle and surround them with their grandkids or who I assume these are children and grandchildren.
I believe that Donald Trump really does wear a suit everywhere other than golfing.
Yeah, he's got his standard white polo shirt for golf.
I would think that Joe Biden would not wear a suit all the time. It just doesn't seem like him.
Well, he doesn't. He didn't. I mean,
that's what I thought.
You would see him sometimes wearing aviator glasses and a bomber jacket, or maybe he would be wearing not a shirt and on the beach asleep.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
There's all sorts of instances of him as president not wearing a suit. That picture just looks suspect. I'm not saying that it's shopped.
But if it
came out that it was shot, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I could see it.
I would be less surprised if that's a real photo than I would be if it were photoshopped. I'd be less surprised
reverse.
If it were photoshopped than if it's a real picture. It just looks super, super weird. Well, and the question, you know, the other question is, does stuff like this matter? The thing that I'm thinking is, you know, the meme where it's like, absolutely no one, and then it's like Joe Biden this he doesn't yeah. he, if nobody is going to say anything about the Joe Biden X account not tweeting out a family picture if there's no picture. Nobody's asking for this.
Yeah, that's the thing that I would have chalked this up to, oh, it's probably a conspiracy, and it might be, but the fact that the royals were actually tweeting out pictures of Princess Kate, I think that's what you've referred to her as.
Yeah.
That were photoshopped. That they admitted later, yes, those were pictures that were photoshopped.
The ones before they announced the cancer?
Yes.
They admitted those were photoshopped?
Well, she admitted it because she had photoshopped them.
I didn't know that had happened. That's interesting because there were like significant inconsistencies with the image.
Mm-hmm. And she said when she put them out, some people said, because you can open the file somehow and you can kind of see if it's been altered. And so, of course, internet sleuths do that and they open it up and they go, oh, this has been altered. I don't know how you'd figure that out, but they did. And then so she was forced to admit, yes, I've doctored those a little bit because I've been, in her words, she was like, well, I've been playing around with Photoshop. I wanted to learn it or something is what she said.
But so if this is photoshopped, I'm 70-30 this is photoshopped.
It just looks too much like it's photoshopped. The position he'd have to be in to be right there is so weird.
I don't like that he seems like he's the back afterthought. He's not sitting by Jill. You would think that you'd put Jill and Joe together. If you put him in the back, you'd put them together. It just seems like it was super convenient to add him into that picture in that way, but it's so bad. Now, I'm 70-30 that it is a Photoshop picture of the Biden family. If the 30 is correct and it's not a Photoshop picture, I don't know why you'd put it out and have it look like this.
It would have to be one of two things. Either he's standing in the porch, like they blew a hole in their own porch for him to stand in, and then he stood kind of at a weird angle.
I almost feel like he'd have to be kneeling down, which
or
he's
he'd
not
have
doing.
To be kneeling, which is got to be so. We've seen him walk. No, not to be mean, but for him to kneel like that in a full suit, it's not easy.
We also seems to be the only one staring directly into the sun with the way he's squinting and making that face. And everybody else is like, oh, yeah, just look at the camera and smile.
The former president goes and does a speaking engagement. It's not the only thing that people talked about that engagement was how bad Joe Biden was. What was the engagement? What was the speaking? What kind of event was he speaking at? I have no idea.
Oh,
I covered
don't know.
It.
Yeah,
what
don't
was
know
he talking about? Don't know. But he was there. He was talking while the music was playing. We played sound from it. He was talking normal, and then he got into Angry Joe, which is my favorite. And, you know, like, that's all that people remember. So you came out of nowhere. You came out of hibernation to do something that was panned for the same reasons you lost the election and went into hibernation. So that was last week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week you come out with this image. What are they trying to project here? Like, to me, Joe Biden is a non-factor for the Democrat Party future. If he is a factor, it's in a complete and total negative way. So is this just the Biden family trying to preserve some sort of legacy? Like, I think the best legacy that you could have if you're Joe Biden right now, if you're trying to preserve what's left of your political career, you just have to go away and hope people remember you for some of the good things that they associate with you, whatever those might be. Like, maybe he was a nice guy. Maybe he loves his grandkids. I don't know. I've said nice things about Barack Obama being a good dad. I think that, you know, it's kind of complicated, I guess, now. Michelle says that they're not getting a divorce, and that's a silly rumor. But I've always felt like they projected the idea of a unified family well. I disagree with basically everything he does politically. There are probably policies, maybe, that Barack Obama was interested in engaging in that, if presented the right way, I could have possibly supported. He was out there dozing in some way, shape, or form before Doge was even a thing. But I could look at what Barack Obama, how he exemplified what a strong family looked like when he was in the office, and I commend that. I can't say the same for Joe.
I read somewhere, and don't know if this is an actual fact, but it sounds about like what he would charge, that he's asking $300,000 for a speech or a public appearance. And so this is, in my view, this is that. This is him just sort of staying out there, trying to stay relevant.
Do you think they need money?
I'm sure they're not turning it down. I don't know how badly they need money, but a $300,000 10-minute speech, I think I'd take that and advertise it like crazy.
I think I'd take $100,000 to do an appearance and not have to give a speech so that I could do two more events afterwards and make the same amount of money as opposed to one speech that might make sure nothing else happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let us know if you think. If you have seen this, I'm gonna retweet it on X at Annie Fry Show. Also, it's been up on our YouTube page. Let's take a quick break. Get the results to the YouTube live chat poll. Should legislatures outlaw school mascots they deem derogatory? We got 263 votes on it right now. We want to know what you think. You find us on YouTube, Annie Fry, or you can go to anniefryshow.com and see the YouTube video that's right there on the homepage. If you click on that YouTube video, you'll go straight to the broadcast, and in the comment section, that's where you find the poll. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So there was a story that hit right before we went on the air at the beginning of the show. Kristi Noem, who we've talked about this more off air than we have on air. Megyn Kelly went in hard on Kristi Noem's, the way she is putting herself out there in her role as the Department of Human Service or Homeland Security Secretary. It's not believable. It's not relatable. We started to criticize Kristi Noem before she got selected for anything. I think it was maybe even during the presidential primary. She started doing endorsements for commercials. You remember she was like she endorsed a dentist or something
Teeth whitening.
I think it was
like in Texas.
And there might have been like a mortgage something or other.
I don't remember that one, but I believe it.
Yeah. There were more than one for sure. And it's like, you're the governor
of South Dakota.
What are you doing?
And the companies weren't even from there.
And that never really became, I never really got an answer to why she was doing that. But then she came out with her book where she's like, yeah, I shot my dog, which is all I remember from her book. I don't know anything else about her book. It's just that she had a dog that was misbehaving, so she shot it. And I think it was a puppy.
It was young.
Yeah. It was not a full
grown. It wasn't
a
little bitty puppy. It was like a year old dog.
Oh, that makes a difference.
It does make a difference if it's full grown.
I don't know that it was full grown. I don't know. The Kristi Noem thing, there are a lot of things that we can spend our time on other than like slamming Kristi Noem. But I just can't. I am not a huge Kristi Noem fan. If she's getting the job done, okay. But like, I love Marco Rubio. And when I hear Marco Rubio talking, I stop to listen because I think he has a way of saying things. I'm going to stop and listen to what Kash Patel has to say. I'm going to stop and listen to what Pam Bondi has to say. And I'm not the hugest Pam Bondi fan either, but I'm not a detractor of hers the way I kind of have I just wince when I see Kristi Noem. I'm like, what is she going to do this time? That's going to make me go, oh, I can't.
Yeah, it seems like she's just politically savvy enough to get where she's gotten, but she's missing something that tells her, no, don't do that thing. And she keeps doing the thing that you go.
You ever see those people who get in trouble of like, it's because I'm so pretty.
I use that defense all the time.
I don't think that about her, but she's just doing so much for her physical presentation. It's so much. I think she's always been pretty. There's so much there that it's distracting from the message. And I don't know why we would be doing that right now. Like, the point of hiring or appointing the people who Trump appointed was to make sure that the message got across. And I think she's a distraction from the message.
I think the same thing about Howard Lutnick.
That he's too pretty?
Yeah.
Her purse was stolen today with thousands in cash on Sunday night at a restaurant in D.C. Multiple sources from the agency confirmed to Fox News Digital the purse was taken by by a white man wearing a mask. Well, that narrows it down. What? And the bag contained $3,000 in cash, well as personal documents, including her passport, keys, driver's license, and DHS badge. Her entire family was in town, including her children and grandchildren. She was using the withdrawal to treat her family to dinner, activities, and Easter gifts. Crime in the capital city continues to be a major issue, including theft. When it comes to violent crime, it hit a 30-year low last year. So, why does she have thousands of dollars in cash?
I was going to ask the same question. Am I missing something? She's got $3,000 in cash just in a bag with passports.
The purse was taken by a capital W white man. This is a Fox News report.
Weird. In D.C., though. This isn't...
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like the way that's reported because it's like... I don't think that they would say black man.
No, they don't.
They
usually,
wouldn't.
They usually don't.
There's an intention not to, which I kind of understand. Like, if you got a picture of the suspect, put the suspect up there and everything. But I don't know. I could probably go look it up some other crime articles and see like a dozen that say black man. But I feel like without giving me a photograph of who the person was, the purse was taken by a white man wearing a mask. Unless white is, maybe white's his last name.
It's capitalized.
He's of the White Clan.
He's the lead singer of the White Stripes.
Yeah, probably not.
Jack White took a bag from Kristi Noem.
It's just kind of weird. Rough Easter for Kristi Noem. I'm sure she's suffering. I bet they get her stuff back.
I bet they do. That's not the kind of person you want to steal from.
No. And you wonder if this white man knew.
He was wearing a mask, though?
Wearing a mask. Yeah, how'd they know?
What kind of mask? A Zorro mask or like a full face mask?
It was a mask of a white man.
He was dressed like the Hamburglar.
It was a Joe Biden mask. I said this earlier in the show, but we're working on a pep rally. I want you to mark on your calendar Sunday at 2 p.m. this coming Sunday to push back against Illinois' HB 1237, which is looking to ban mascots that the Illinois state legislature doesn't like. Ethan, back in studio with us right now. We asked you on the YouTube poll. What do you got for us?
289 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Should legislators outlaw school mascots they deem derogatory? Boy, we got a close one today, guys. Only 94% say no.
Oh, who are you 6%ers out there?
That's the Illinois legislature.
J.B. Pritzker is watching.
Yeah, right. I wish. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. A reminder, you can subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Go to anniefryshow.com. You can see a lot of stuff that has to do with the show, including a way for you to provide your feedback on what you love, what you like, what you'd like to see changed, and what you hate. It's all there on the anniefryshow.com website. The Mark Reardon Show, however, takes over on 97.1 FM Talk next.